Hey, good morning, everybody. Before I start, I'd like to thank the organizer and for Catherine for inviting me to give this talk. It's a great honor for me to be here. So, the next 30 minutes, I'm going to tell you about a system that we developed. We call it Phenom Networks. It's an integrated system for complex phenotype analysis in plant breeding and research, and the focus is on phenotypes and plant breeding here, and to combine it with genomic information. So I'll demonstrate the use of the system using research that is done in Dani Zamir's lab in the Hebrew University. All data that I'll show in this demo is available over the internet, can be accessible by anyone, and can be analyzed by anyone. Let's start. So, as I already said, Phenom Networks, linking genomics and plant breeding. In this age of genomics, we sequence genomes and look at their expression patterns. And then, as you saw in the previous talks, we deposit this sequence data into a community database like Grameen and others. But to understand diversity around us and ultimately to increase food production, which is all about phenotypes, we need to link phenotypes to genomic information. And in phenotypes, unlike sequences, there's no central community database to deposit phenotypic data and analyze it. So most of, for example, QTL studies are published in papers, but the raw data is missing, is not uploaded into a central database, and this is a tremendous loss. So we raise the question, where have all the QTL gone? For example, when you search the NCBI for QTL mapping studies, you get more than 4,000 papers in the last decade. And if you assume that a single QTL study costs around $100,000 and you multiply it by 4,000, you get almost $500 million worth of data that most of this is gone, not available anymore. And this is why we established Phenom Networks. It is being developed by an Israel company. And the idea is to kickstart a community collaboration and to make a central database for phenotypes so that a user can upload data, share it with other people, analyze it in an integrated way. Just like, for example, Facebook, the share information, but here in Phenom Networks, we do it for phenotypes. So we share information and analyze it. And our mode of operations is in two ways. In the first, for the academic community, we provide the systems for free, and we sell it to breeding and seeds companies. Slide about technology. Phenom Networks is being developed using open source tools. There's the database scheme, which is based on ICIS, International Crop Information System. It was developed originally by CGR. And all the statistical engine is done using R. And what is more important here is the system is open for extension, so developers in R can develop plugins into the system and thus extend the functionality. So there's two ways that the system advances. First, we upload data, and then we add new procedures to analyze this data. So the content of this talk, I'll start with an example of a single gene that arises in tomato, because all the raw data of the study is in the system, and all the analysis was done in the system. So this is first example to show what you can do with the system. And next, I'll show some more functionality of the system. I'll show methods for germplasm selections based on phenotypic profile, based on pedigree relations, based on genetic distance, then correlation among phenotypes for indirect selection, for example. And then, R&D-related issue, QTL mapping, using segregating population, and integrating morphology phenotypes and metabolites. So, a single gene that arises for yield in tomato, this study was published about a year ago by was conducted by Uri Krieger and Zach Lippmann. And heterosis, which is the outperformance of hybrid over its parent, is a long-studied phenomenon. And one of the questions was, is it possible so that a single gene can have an heterotic effect? Can a single gene can cause heterosis? And indeed, in this study, they found the SFT gene in tomato. It was started in 2008 when around tenths of mutants in heterozygote state were tested in a replicated trial and measured for yield and compared to the common background, to the common control. Especially one mutant was significantly higher than the control and than the rest. And it was the SFT gene. And it appears that there are three alleles, for independent alleles for these genes, that all of them show much greater yield compared to the control. And again, the difference between these mutants to the control is only this single gene, and they are about 60% more than the control. By the way, the figures here are taken directly from the system, and this is a picture of this mutant. You can see it in the middle, alongside is two parents, and you can see visually very clearly the yield. One observation that we made is that the SFT effect occurs only in a favorite conditions. So, for example, if we plant in a dense spacing, there's no effect. The yield is the same as the control. In this figure, you can see that the red data points are SFT varieties that planted in space. While the green and blue points are more wide density. So for breeding application, it would be more reasonable to plant SFT varieties in dense span and less dense spacing. Okay, I'll move on, and from now on I'll show you some more statistical functionality of the system that is more suitable for plant breeders selecting germplasms based on phenotypic profile. And here I want to show the interface of the system. This is the main analysis page. It's a uniform interface for graphical display and statistical analysis of the entire database. So every analysis that you want to invoke, it's only a matter of few clicks away. Let's see how it works. Step one, you select the study or studies that you want to work with. The study selection window is selected, and then the study filter indication shows that you indeed selected a study. And then there is a status bar that shows the name of the selected study. And on the left side, there's the list of available analysis types and a list of traits measured in this selected study. And then there is analysis specific fields and parameters. So if you want to invoke an analysis, you just first choose an analysis, then put the traits you want to analyze in the appropriate fields, and three, click OK. For example, this is a heat map analysis, where on the x-axis these are the phenotypes that selected, and on the y-axis these are the germplasm. Again, the issue here is not the analysis itself is not unique. It's just what's unique here is the simple and uniform interface, when you can invoke in a few seconds any analysis that you want. There's no need to upload raw data from a database and move it into Excel or other statistical software, everything from the same place. The analysis is shown in a tab, and the result is typically displayed as a figure, sometimes table. The figure itself is clickable, so you can click on a spot to zoom in on the particular genotype or genotypes. You can take several genotypes from the figure itself, so it's actually to make a selection from the figure itself, and then look at the basic information, the raw phenotypic data of your selected germplasm. Or you can take these selected germplasm and group them into a new list, so to be looked at later. Again, everything is done on the system. You don't need to navigate between some kind of statistical software. Everything is in the same place. This is an example of principal component analysis, clustering of genotypes based on their phenotypic profile. And here the data points represent germplasm. Now, if I select closely related data points, and click on them and see their phenotypic profile, which, as you can see here, is very similar. Here I selected three genotypes, and display on the right side, their phenotypic profile is displayed. Alternatively, if I select distantly related germplasm, their phenotypic profile is completely different. And this is the same figure, but now I use another phenotype to color the germplasm such that green represents a low phenotypic value, red is high phenotypic value, and black is average or around the average. So it's another layer of information, we can extend it. This is the first one was the continuous phenotype. This is a nominal phenotype, and you have a legend to show for each color what its value is. And this is when I color the germplasm according to several continuous phenotypes. And here, every germplasm is indicated, as you can see here, as a square where you can see a list of the phenotypes and their location within the squares. You can point on it, see the phenotypic information, and you can select germplasm from the figure. This is a really great tool for breeders to do the selection from a graphical display and to do the selection based on the entire phenotypic profile and the distance between the germplasm. And we'll see selecting how to select germplasm based on pedigree relation and phenotypic profile. So this is a pedigree figure, and you can see the germplasm with circles, and again each germplasm is color coded according to a selected phenotype. Again, green is red, green is low, red is high, black is average. And now I can tell the system to color the figure according to several continuous phenotypes. And this is what I get. Again, now I see the profile of several phenotypes for each germplasm. Again, everything can be selected from the figure itself. So it's really a good tool to make a selection. Okay, I can select it from here. And this is another figure. Now it color the germplasm according to phytopathology traits, where red represents resistance, green is susceptible, and blue is segregating for this trait. This is an example of combining ability. Now this shows the phenotypic value of parental line as determined by the average of all hybrids that is line is used as parents. So now the germplasm are displayed as the average of all the hybrids that are involved in. And clustering a germplasm based on genetic distance, basically markers. So this is hierarchical cluster analysis. Genotypes are clustered by markers, and the color indicates phenotypic value of a selected trait. Again, the scale is from green to black and red. And once again, the real advantage here is not the analysis itself. This is not unique, but what's unique here is it's just select the phenotype and click OK. That's it. There's no need to download raw data, make normalization, combine data set, all of this that is typically breeders need to deal with. Again, this can be clicked on, so you can click on a particular branch and see all the genotypes, and the genotypes that fall within this branch are highlighted. Again, this figure can be clicked and you can select germplasm based on this, and so on. Another example is correlation among phenotypes. Can be used for indirect selection. So this is a correlation between bricks and yield in tomato. And you can select germplasm from the figure, or as I showed before for PCA clustering, you can color the germplasm according to another phenotype, or you can color them according to several phenotypes, and you can select germplasm from this figure. This is an example of three-dimensional scatter plot. Again, everything can be selected. And the next example is compare genotype consistency among experiments. Sometimes we measure germplasm or hybrid in several experiments, and you just select the studies and you get this figure which shows the correlation between the studies. You can click on the figure and then get the correlation plot and then select germplasm from this plot. Yeah, or you can show all the phenotypic details including images of this germplasm. A few slides about QTL mapping. This is a population of Neuriche in a tomato. So you can see the introgression lines, the introgression from the Neuriche wild type into the cultivated background. This is another display of the same population where we can see QTL mapping for plant weight in colored in azure and yield, which is in red. Again, the map is clickable and you can zoom in and out and see a particular comparison of particular markers in this map. And now I'll give an example of integrating morphology, phenotypes, and metabolites. This is a tomato network of phenotypes. Each circle here is a phenotype, and lines that link circles represent a significant correlation between these phenotypes. And we have here morphological phenotypes and metabolites and also enzyme activity. This is a tomato segregating population, and you can see, for example, harvest index is a major hub and connects it as a negative correlation with several metabolites, which is makes sense because low harvest index means a big plant with small number of fruits, and then each fruit can have more resources or more metabolites, and this is why the negative correlation. But we can see another negative correlation, for example, between fruit weight and glycerol 1-phosphate. And if we investigate the phenotypic the network correlation in different organisms, here we have a rose network, and again, segregating population between two distinct parents in rose, we can observe the same negative correlation between fruit weight and glycerol phosphate. So again, the system allows you to draw these correlations very easily and identifying trends. Of course, it still needs further investigation to see if this is a true biological phenomenon, but the system gives you the possibility to track this finding. This is another example of positive correlation between yield and glycerol in the core collection population. most of the correlation between the phenotypes and metabolites are negative because of the harvest index, but the system we have like a search engine of correlation, so you can just ask, give me the most significant correlation between, let's say, yield and metabolites, and it gives you a list of all the significant correlation, and you can just pull out and zoom in on each of them. And again, the issue here is the immediate availability of any analysis that you want. There's no need to use the raw data and move them between other statistical software. Everything is in a single place where you can organize the germplasm and make the process really efficient and easy. And that's it. But if I want to conclude, so thank you for your attention.